Bible tells me that while we were yet sinners, even in the midst of my mistakes, in the midst of my trouble, His love was such that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Ah, oh, what love. Oh, what love. I need to know that I'm valuable to Him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, you see worth in me I can't even see in myself. Created me. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you're in my life and you're helping me clean. You're helping me do what is right. Lord, help me be a witness in word and deed to the world around about me. Lord, if I'm worth saving, they're worth saving. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just take a few moments? Can we offer up some gratitude unto our God? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You sacrificed your life so I could be free. So I could be whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Oh, the words of the song are so beautiful. If you could really sing it, if you could really mean it, you thought I was worth saving, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Thank you, Lord.
So you up inside, you thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Yes, Jesus.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. So I could tell everyone.
you lift your hands right now.
Praise your name. Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your name.
Thank you, Jesus. It's not a sparrow that falls to the ground the Lord doesn't know and recognize. You are more valuable to Him than many sparrows. I can't find true worth anywhere else. I can't. It's superficial, it's circumstantial, it's conditional. But worth that I find in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're everything to me, and I am everything to you, Jesus. So much so that you gave your life. Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Grab your Bibles. Let's remind you this, as you're turning to Romans chapter 12, this morning we are kicking off our gift jar fundraiser. I want to say thank you to Brother and Sister Grimm for heading this up. At the back of the table, you'll see there are three different gift jars that we are offering. And this is a fundraiser for the church, and proceeds going to help youth group. And We want you to help us sell these jars. There's three jars. One's chicken soup, one's sandbar brownie, and the other one's chocolate chip cookie. She was nodding with me, so I got them all right. And you feel free to take pictures of them. Sister Grimm has the order forms for you to take and take orders for these gift jars. And then we need the orders back in by December the 6th. And if we get the orders and the money turned in by December the 6th, we'll be able to get all the orders filled by the next Sunday, which is December the 13th, and have them here ready to give out. And so in the meantime, we're going to need help from individuals and the youth to help us put them together as the orders come in. So if you have any questions concerning this, is we're selling for $10 a piece. And so we also have a contest, because it's always good to have a little competition. And so we're going to have a first place and a second place. First place is going to get a $50 gift certificate, and the second place is going to get a $25 gift certificate. The only catch, in order to qualify, you got to sell at least 25. So if you sell 25 of these jars, and even if you just sell 25, and nobody else sells 25, well, you get a $50 gift card. And so we just kind of a way to incentivize you giving and selling. And so this is an opportunity for us to take it outside the walls of the church, find friends, family, maybe even businesses that would be willing to peddle our product, if you will. But this is a great fundraiser. It raises a lot of funds. And so we ask that you would help us out. If you have any questions, you can see Brother and Sister Grimm, and I'm sure they can clear up any confusion that I may have caused in my presentation. But also, at the conclusion of service this morning, we are going to have a special time of giving and pledging, if you will, for Christmas for Christ. Give you a month. On December the 13th, the morning of, we have our Christmas for Christ service. This is a special time for us to give unto the Lord, a special offering. The Christmas for Christ is a part of North American Missions. It is an endeavor, an arm of United Pentecostal Church International to not only start new church plants, but support those new church plants. And so we're going to give you opportunity to respond in faith a little bit. We'll tell you a little bit more as we go and as we near the end of service this morning. But just thankful that you're here in the house of the Lord this morning. Romans chapter number 12. As you're turning there, I want to say thank you. It's such a privilege and honor to see 9 men, including myself, at the men's conference. And we just had a great time in the presence of the Lord. And fellowship one with another, and then I heard the ladies had a wonderful time at the China House buffet and gathering together fellowship there. So these type of venues, these type of opportunities are for you to be involved, for you to find fellowship, to find a time to get together and, as they kind of say, let your hair down a little bit, just enjoy one another's company. And so we're thankful that these opportunities are there and encourage you to be a part of that. Romans chapter number 12, one verse to read in your hearing. Verse number 1, passage I have no doubt preached from before, and I will, the Lord tarries, preach from again. But a very important passage, the Apostle Paul writing the church at Rome says, verse number 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living. Everybody say living. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Everybody say holy. Acceptable. Everybody say acceptable. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Many of us can go ahead and quote verse number 2. It talks about, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want to focus upon a two-word phrase in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12. Apostle Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise that you are so due and so worthy of. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place this morning, we would do so with a greater understanding of what it means to live for you, of what it means to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. A living sacrifice. Sacrifice is one of those central themes that you will find throughout all of Scripture. In the beginning, it was God who, as we best we understand, slew the first animals to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve after they sinned in the garden. Not long after, Cain and Abel, the Bible says, presented sacrifices unto the Lord. And we all, many times, probably have heard the story how that Cain rose up against his brother and slew his brother Abel. And the crux of the matter, if you will, it involved jealousy concerning sacrifice. Even before the sacrificial law, the Levitical law was instituted, the worship of the one true God and the worship of idols we find in the beginning was performed by way of sacrifice. When Moses, under the inspiration of God, revealed the law and its tenets, the sacrifice of animals and the shedding of blood was central in its implementation in order to do and uphold the Levitical law, in order to follow the precepts and principles of the law. There had to be sacrifice. Sacrifice with slaughter and death, animals that were limp and lifeless and laid upon the altar. It was a scene that was all too familiar for many. But you see, this scene had of sacrifice had a sense of finality to it. Although the lamb or the goat may bleat and the ox may bellow, the smell of blood and singed hair would linger in the air, but you would bring the sacrifice, it would be slaughtered and placed upon the altar and burnt up. And so sacrifice was a concept that was coupled with the finality of death and readily understood within that framework. However, Paul presents another paradigm altogether. Paul places a word in front of the word sacrifice that is a game changer. Paul, it's almost as if you were coupling and you're adjoining two concepts that seem to be contrary. Sacrifice is about dying, and you used living to describe it. You beseech us, according to the Bible, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, a living dying. Talk about an oxymoron.
Paul, that seems a little odd. It seems a little weird. That is clearly confusing, like in sweet agony eating bittersweet jumbo shrimp that are definitely maybe growing smaller and appearing invisible but are awfully good. If you missed it, there's 8 oxymorons in that sentence. Don't try to figure them out now. You might can do it later. Living sacrifice, a continual killing, a living dying, that sounds pretty ugly to me. I'd rather just get to the sacrifice part and get that out of the way and then go on living. Catch it. This is the fallacy of most modern Christianity, where sacrifice is a simple statement of faith or a one-time committal prayer. And this is where current Christianity is woefully lacking in consecration and commitment. It's just a one-time thing or a one-time experience. And I say something or I repeat a prayer. And then that's, I'm at that point. I've made the appropriate sacrifice. And I'd rather just somebody preach about the living part. You can stop at the living part, presenting my body as a living. I can do that. I can enjoy life. I can binge on the bountiful blessings of God. I can be comfortable and complacent until Jesus calls me home. I like that kind of preaching. I like somebody that'll make me feel good about my life. I like someone that'll stop at the living part. But I don't know about that living sacrifice. When you add that part on the end, it seems to change the context. It seems to be a little bit different. But can I, with great boldness, say you can't get to holiness and acceptability without going through sacrifice? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living, holy, and acceptable unto God. No. You skip something you got to go through. There is something that has to be there between the living and being holy and being acceptable. And I'm sorry. I need to understand according to the scripture there is something on my part. There is something that I must do. I present my body. A living sacrifice, a continual killing, a living dying. You see, that's where a lot of people fall off. That's where a lot of people don't want to hear. That's where a lot of people decide to step back and say, wait a second, I like the living stuff. I like the blessing stuff. I like the feel-good stuff. But when you get up to a pulpit and start talking about sacrifice, I'll just kind of fade back into the shadow. I'd rather hear the preaching that makes me feel good about my lifestyle. I'd rather hear the preaching that it makes me want to just keep living like I'm living. But you see, it is the sacrifice that shapes us. It is the sacrifice that separates us. It is the sacrifice that sanctifies us. It is the sacrifice that proves us, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm sorry, I don't care how much modern day Christianity tries to compel us that compromise is okay and just living how you want to live is all right. I don't read that in the Word of God. The Word of God says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. We'd rather have the finality of a one-time event. We'd rather have the finality of just laying it all on the altar at one time and being done with it. But I rise to say on this Sunday morning, it is a day-by-day living. It is a day-by-day killing of the old person. It is a day-by-day decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a statement of faith that says, I can live and die. I can be living and dying. It's a living sacrifice. How do these opposites, how do these things, they seemingly contradict? So how do they coexist? Well, maybe it's something like this. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not we are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. But then it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about a living dying. I'm talking about a living sacrifice. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet I live. It's a living sacrifice. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal, in our dying flesh. See, it's a living dying. It's a living sacrifice. It's a continual course. It's something that I live in. I live in sacrifice. I don't just do a one-time sacrifice. I live in sacrifice. This is where a lot of people jump ship. This is where a lot of people decide, I ain't rolling with this train anymore, because I'd rather just have a one and done and get it over with and just sacrifice that one time and then feel like everything's okay and just go on living. But the Apostle Paul said, it doesn't work that way. You got to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I know it doesn't seem right, and I know it's kind of perplexing at the onset, but when you understand what I'm talking about, you'll get joy in the living as you persecute and kill the flesh. It's a living die. Might I say this, though we understand that what Jesus did on Calvary was the ultimate sacrifice, though we understand it is He that uttered the words upon the cross, it is finished, though we understand He was born for this, we need to understand Jesus was the absolute embodiment of a living sacrifice. Bible says, learn to ye obedience by the things which He suffered. Bible lets us know that when at 12, when other boys were playing in the streets, Jesus was standing in the temple at 12 years of age. Logic says, let him live. Let him enjoy his time as an adolescent. Let him have fun and hang out with the other fellas and do what they do. But Jesus looked at his mom and dad and said, I must be about my Father's business. See, I'm a living sacrifice. I've come to understand as I've studied and I read, and I believe, though the Bible doesn't say much about Jesus' adolescent years, I believe that Jesus, as a boy, studied the Torah. I believe that Jesus, as a boy, came to the revelation of who He was, as He, unlike everybody else, when the other boys would put down the book, and when the other boys would decide to go out and play, Jesus stayed by Himself reading the Scriptures. Jesus, learning in His own mind and in His own will, as a man and as a child, He began to develop and understand, wait a second, maybe these Scriptures are referring to me. Maybe I'm the one. I'm not like everybody else. I don't want to do what they want to do all the time. There's something different about me. I believe that Jesus was a living embodiment of a living sacrifice. I'll catch it, because we're about to bring it 180. We're about to bring it full circle, because Jesus looked at Pilate on the eve of His crucifixion. Jesus looked at Pilate when He was about to be offered up into the hands of sinners. Jesus looked at Pilate, and this is what He said: to this end was I born. Pilate, you're looking at a living sacrifice. You're looking at someone who realizes what is about to take place. You're looking at someone who understands the importance of what is happening in this dispensation of time, you look at someone to this end was I born. I was born to be a sacrifice. It is no wonder that when John looked up from the banks of the Jordan and saw me coming down and walking down the banks, he made this statement. He looked at me and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He understood, John, with a blessing from on high. John understood that I'm a living sacrifice. I'm about to pay the ultimate price for the sins of the world. To this end was I born. I'm about to flip on a switch. You'd rather I not cast light upon. I'm going to get very real and I'm going to be very candid. We are born again. To this end are we born. For someone to get up and say that being born again is just all about the blessings of God and all about the goodness of God and all about making heaven your home. Yes, those things are factors, but we need to understand that when we are born again, to this end are we born. What end are you talking about, Pastor? What end are you referring to? I'm talking about a living sacrifice. I'm talking about from that day forward, the spirit that is inside of me causing me to crucify the flesh, to mortify the deeds thereof. I'm talking about allow the peer of the power and presence of God, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that same spirit to dwell in my mortal body, quickening me and empowering me to do what? To be a witness. A witness of what? A living sacrifice. To this end was I born. When someone is born again, it is to this end. This is why Paul would say in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, one of the reasons why God empowers us and gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost, His Spirit inside of us. Yes, it is to make heaven our home. Yes, it is to quicken our mortal bodies. Yes, it is to be a part of the rapture, to go home with God. Yes, it is all those things, but it is also to be a living sacrifice. It is not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God, that we would understand that when we're born again, we're born to be a living sacrifice, just as Jesus, when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, a symbol in and of itself of the sacrifice that was to come. When you and I are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our life, let me tell you what is happening. What is happening is that we are now becoming a living sacrifice. There is a new birth. And now this life that I live for Jesus Christ. I live to show the world I can be a living dying. I can be someone living unto God and dying unto this world. I can be someone showing about in my body who I am. It's what this world has and offers is dead to me. And what God offers is alive. In Him do we live and do we move and do we have our being. I am a living sacrifice. Draw your attention to Romans 8. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Don't stop there. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm give it all the day long, but I am more than a conqueror. It seems like they're contradictory. It seems like they don't work, like they work against one another. But oh, when I understand the way in which the Spirit works, when I understand that I am a living sacrifice, though I am killed all the day long, nay, in all these things, I am made more than a conqueror. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What are you talking about? I am a living sacrifice. Well, in the Old Testament, it would bring goats, lambs, and bulls. It was the finality, the offering of the sacrifice as it was burnt up upon the altar. Bible tells me our God is a consuming fire. And the reality is, and many people would rather not hear, is that in my walk in relationship with God, it's not a one-time occurrence. It's not just something that happened years ago. It's not just something that I went one time to an altar and made a commitment to. All those things are good. I'm not demeaning those things, but we need to understand it's not just a one-time instance. It's not just a one-time occurrence. It is that I am a living sacrifice. That this life that I now live is a living dying. That I am one who has made a decision to mortify the deeds of the body. I am one who's decided I am going to be a sacrifice unto God. I'm going to continually offer myself unto Him. Why? Because in light of what He's done, it is a reasonable service. In light of what He's done for me, it's reasonable that I would come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Take my dreams. Take my aspirations. Take my longings. I willingly sacrifice them for You. For I long to be a living sacrifice. Say, well, the wells, that's a lot of people have opposition to. All the things that they have to give up, or all the things they have to stop doing in order to live for God. I thought to myself, wait a second, we kind of got it wrong. It's not really about that. Yes, those are a part of it, but that's not the motive. That's not the crux behind it. It's not the reason why I do what I do. The reason why I do what I do is so that I can be a living sacrifice, so that I can choose God's way over my way, so that I can show the world around me there is power to resist the flesh. There is power not to give in to the temptation. I can be an example in word or deed. That I can show forth the signs of a changed life. That I can be a living sacrifice. Maybe it's not so much about living for God as it's about living to God. That I would present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And you see, I can't have holiness, and I can't be acceptable unless I do it through sacrifice. And so I've come to understand, and though in my flesh it's something that I'm kind of opposed to, that in my own mentality and logic it doesn't always make sense, but your faith comes in. Where the just shall live by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that this life that we live, this continual dying, this living sacrifice, brings glory unto God. And I understand that he paid the ultimate sacrifice, and I don't earn salvation by my works. I understand that, but we are created unto God, unto good works. He's looking for a people who are zealous of good works. We are His workmanship, created under good works. What are you saying, Pastor? It's this, that when I truly understand the relationship with God, it's not so much of the importance of what I have to give up, rather the importance of what I get. when I give, when I offer my body, myself, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. It is through that sacrifice, it is through that living sacrifice that I don't conform to this world. I don't give in to its pressures. I don't see like it sees. I don't entertain what it entertains. I don't give in to what it tries to tempt me with. It is in that understanding. It is in that realization that I am a living sacrifice. That I make the determination that this life that I now live, it's a living dying. It's a continual coming before God and offering my services. It's a continual coming before God and saying, this is me. And I'm here to sacrifice. I'm here to worship. That's why we say things like, bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It's not so much, well, I got to do this. And I, no, it's an understanding that my praise is comely, that my praise is beautiful unto God. And so I come and I give of myself. And though my pride and my masculinity and my own will doesn't want to do it, I crucify the flesh. I'm living, dying. I am a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. She is my reasonable service. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. See, I come to this understanding in Scripture. My level of spirituality, my level of walking with the Lord and depth of relationship has a lot to do with my depth of sacrifice. More that I'm willing to lay upon the altar. More that I'm willing to come before Him and say, God, I give this for You. Not out of obligation, not out of requirement. Give it out of appreciation and gratitude. Give it because I want to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You. Lord, I want You to find pleasure. I want You. See, you thought I was worth saving. You sacrificed Your life for me so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Lord, You expressed Your worth to me. You expressed how much You thought of me. You gave the greatest example of love, for greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. You gave that great example of love. You showed me, revealed much I was worth to You. Had all power in heaven and earth. You could have had anything You wanted. And You gave Your life for me. Purchased my salvation. You took the stripes upon Your back for me. You did those things for me. Now in an attitude, gratitude and appreciation, I show You in my living sacrifice, I show You how much You mean to me. me. I express how much I think you're worth, and what I do and how I live. And that living is a living diet. It's a sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
Holy is the reason I can do, make my life.
Can you say that?
A living sacrifice.
God, I want to have a greater relationship
with you. It's the least that I
I'll tell you how you know whether or not that's just lip service. I'll tell you how to really know whether or not you really mean that. If you want a deeper relationship with God, you want depth in the Spirit, you want to experience those things that He has for you. It's not just a one-time commitment. It's not just a one-time coming to the altar. It's not just a one-time occurrence or experience. No, it's a continual killing. It's a living sacrifice.
Thank you.
just a few moments, I'm going to play a video for you. It's not a long video, maybe 4 minutes long, 4 to 5 minutes long. It's a story of a family who started a church in California. I want you to listen to the words of their experience and what this family did in order to start a church and minister to people in their lives.
Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ, because if it were not for your offering, I wouldn't be able to be here.
When we decided to come, it was a step of faith.
Sacrificing living here meant sleeping in the car.
I'm going to introduce you to a great pastor and wife, Jerry and Ruby Menchaca, pastoring in Santa Barbara, California. They have been here in Santa Barbara for 3 years, and the impact they have made has really been phenomenal.
The last year, we had this big shooting at UCSB right off the campus where seven people were killed, over 15 people were injured. And that's our community. That's the kids needed somebody. So when we have our Bible studies, we do it right smack in the middle where the main traffic's at, where the shootings were at, where the kids go through it, because if they can walk around and flaunt their lifestyle of whatever it may be, whatever it may consist of, we're gonna pray in front of everybody. We're gonna have a Bible study in front of everybody. And we're not gonna do this somewhere hidden away that we can't be seen. This is God's kingdom.
I've been coming here to church since I've arrived here for my freshman year. And I feel like it's made a very great difference coming here, because back home I was not able to go to church with my brother due to conflicts with my parents and being raised Catholic.
They're like second parents. So they're always there. I can text them whenever I need them, and the Bible studies.
If we do what God has asked us to do, no matter how out of the box it may seem, He's going to do the rest for us.
I'm just very grateful that I have a home church here that I can attend and I can feel comfortable around, and that I have pastors that love me and who care for me and watch out for me.
When we decided to come, it was a step of faith. Everything seemed to, at one point or another time, seemed to fall apart. But we refused to give up. It wasn't until towards the end of when my wife and I were there, we were homeless for about a month. And the church knew it. And that was probably the hardest time in my life to preach and to start working with a group of people believing in preaching hope, trust, faith while you're sleeping in your truck that night.
And coming from a 3-bedroom house and then coming here, sacrificing living here meant sleeping in the car, sheds, you know, just trying to find somewhere to sleep. And then me getting a job and working at night and then sleeping in the truck at a park in the daytime while he went to work. That was one of the hardest things, but it's a sacrifice.
The money that was provided was very important. It was needed, and it fulfills a purpose and a great need. But more than the money, it's knowing that the people that are willing, that are behind you and that are willing to not just to tell you how much I love you, but to show me how much I love you. It was that sense of unity. It was a sense of, you know, people are praying for you and people believe in you.
I want to thank you for your Christmas for Christ dollar. Christmas for Christ really does put Christ back into Christmas. And most importantly, with your dollar, we're putting Christ into homes and lives of people that don't know who He is. They don't know whose birthday they're celebrating at Christmas time. Your dollar is helping us put Christ in lives, marriages, children, young people, communities that do not know Him like you know Him. Thank you for giving to Christmas for Christ.
If you could stand. I told you we were going to do something a little different, something we haven't done before, but I feel that we'll have a good response. I don't know if you noticed how many times they use the word sacrifice. Except for on road trips where we wanted to do it, I've never had to sleep in my vehicle. They had a burden to start a church. They were a living sacrifice. I dare say they're still sacrificing. They're still making decisions in order to see the work of God go forth. I'm not one of those that, you know me, if you've been around here any period of time, I don't come to you often about giving. But I believe Christmas for Christ is an opportunity. It's a season of giving. I believe that there should be a spirit of giving that happens as a result of this time of year. We're going to give you an opportunity, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of give in faith. Either side of the pulpit here, I have in $5 increments, 5 through 50 over here. They're face down, so you're just going to have to grab in faith. 5 to 50, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. This side, 55 through 95, because I lead by example and your pastor, I'm going to give 100. So are you trying to? No, I believe you lead by example. So nobody has to worry about grabbing the 100 out of this side because your pastor is already going to do it. And what I want you to do is just take a moment. Maybe you say, well, I know I can give more than that. So maybe you want to grab a couple envelopes or what have you, just in faith. There's only about 20 envelopes total out here. But if everybody takes an envelope and gives, there's no more envelopes up here, and that money is pledged, we will have raised over $1,000 for Christmas for Christ like that. With nobody giving more than $100. That's pretty awesome. And so the wife's going to play. Whatever, you can play that same song you're just playing. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to just make your way. If you feel like, well, maybe times are tough and I don't really have the opportunity to give a lot, but I do want to give something, well, I might suggest you come over to this side. But maybe you're saying, no, I feel like God can bless me and I can give more. I'm just going to respond in faith right now. It's beautiful. A living sacrifice. There's a lot of things I can give to her. A lot of family that I have to give to, but some families that really need. They're working for the Lord. They're, how beautiful. There's more. We got, I thought I had more. We can put out more. Ye of little faith. We'll bring some more tonight. We'll lay them out here. I thought the increments of 5 would work well, and obviously it did. Thank you. Thank you. If the pledge card you grabbed, you say, well, man, I know I can do more than this, by all means, do so. It's just a simple way to say, our own little way, I'm a living sacrifice. When we lift our hands to the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to be a living sacrifice unto you, God. Sacrificing my time, my talent, my treasure, God, for this kingdom that I cherish.
this word that I love, this walk with you that means more to me than anything else. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful time, God, in your presence. Thank you for people who are willing to sacrifice to see your work go forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus.